Let's 1 Samuel chapter 4. I might not do much preaching. I might stay right behind this pulpit tonight. But I'll tell you what. We want the Lord to really help us. And the Philistines, or the Philistines, however you want to say it, were afraid. For they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Amen. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus, knowing that we need your help and we need your touch. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would rebuke the devourer, that one that is trying to devour the faith of these precious people, your children, the sheep of your pasture. Lord, I pray that you would anoint us as your spokesman tonight with fresh oil from above. Lord, we're asking you, Lord, to rebuke the accuser of the brethren and the adversary that would try to war against me. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint us in such a way, God, that we'll know when we leave this place that God is in the camp. Lord, we're asking you for a divine manifestation of your power. Nothing new, Lord. We're not asking for something new. We just want the old-time power of God in our midst. And we'll give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. I want to preach on, if the Lord would help me, I want to preach on God in the camp. Hallelujah. It might take me a little while to get to where I'm going. Amen. Israel at this time was out of gear with God. The people had forgotten the Most High and had gone aside to worship Baal. They had neglected the things of God, so we see that they were giving up to their enemies. Amen. When Jehovah had brought them out of Egypt, he instructed them how they were to live in the land to which he would bring them. And war took him, they would be chastened. His words were very plain, and we find them in Leviticus chapter number 26. He said, if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sin. Now, that doesn't sound like a God of love. Huh? We talk about a God of love, but he said, if you walk contrary to me, I'm going to walk contrary to you. That's what he said, did he not? Amen. He said, if ye love me, then ye will keep my commandments. Help me, Jesus. And this fulfillment of, amen, of this threatening, the Philistines had been divinely permitted to make great havoc on the idolatrous Israelites and hold them into cruel slavery. Amen. The only way for Israel to get out of trouble was to return to their God. Amen. To return to their God and repent and say, Lord, we went astray. We have failed you now. Amen. We're living in a society that preaching on repentance is not popular. Amen. Ask Brother Jim Gillis, who preaches a message that is contrary to the higher education. Come on now. We've got people today that boast of, we've got men on our board and they're educated men. But educated men without the presence of God are nothing more than clever devils. Hear me now. We don't need any more carnal board members. We don't need any more carnal church members. We don't need any more carnal preachers. We don't need any more carnal singers. We need people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. We need people that God is in their camp. He said, you know God is in their camp. Not by what they say, but the line that they walk. Woo, glory to God. That was the only way for them to get out of trouble. was to return to God, who by His judgment seemed to say to Israel at this day in Micah 6:9, "Hear ye the rod, in who hath appointed." The only cure for Israel was repentance. And sometimes God has got to bring the rod, amen, into our life. Help me now. The Apostle Paul said, "Do you want me to come when I come to you?" To the Corinthian church, he said, "Do you want me to come with a rod? Or do you want me to come in love? The choice is up to you. Get things right and I'll come in love. But if not, the rod of God is against you." I want to tell you, brother, every preacher, amen, when we preach this gospel message, we are not bearing this sword in vain. Come on here. Woo, it's going to take me a little while to get where I'm going, but we're going to get there. We need sometimes to come back to God and repent and renew our faith and our covenant with our God. Then everything would be all right. Hear me now. But it seems that that's the last thing that men want to do. Amen. We don't want to come clean with God. Our minds by nature, you hear me? Our minds by nature, sister-in-law testified on it, do not love the things of God. They don't love spiritual things. We might attend to outward duty and external rites, but to bring our hearts into subjection to the divine will of God is a different story. Come on now. It's not the acts that some people do of sin that bug me, but it is the spirit that possesses them to do what they're doing. And there is a spirit that is contrary to the law of God. And it is in our world today. It is in our pulpits today. We're living in a day that flesh is glorying in the pulpit. Flesh is glorying in the pew. Flesh is glorying in the choir loft. But God is not in the camp. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. But to serve the Lord with all of our heart, Sister Yvonne, and all of our soul, and with all, do you hear me? All of our soul, and our mind, and our body, and our strength. Our natural man hates that. And yet nothing less than this will suffice to turn our captivity. It seems that the church, the American church in particular, has been delivered into the hands of, amen, our enemies. We have become a mockery to the world. We have become a mockery, amen, to the government. Amen, Showtime and preaching and glitz and glamour. You know it's the mainstream, and you know that some of you, that's what appeals to you. But the old crossroad, this old time way of prayer and fasting and being faithful to the house of God and, amen, paying your tithe, it doesn't look as pretty. But I want to tell you, amen, broad is the way that leads to, amen, to destruction. But straight is the way that leads to life everlasting. But instead of attempting to get right with their God, these Israelites begin to devise all type of superstitious means of securing the victory over their foe. Amen. And in this respect, many of us have imitated them. Oh, I just feel the Lord here. Help me, Lord. I need you. We think of 1,000 inventions, but we neglect the one thing needful in our life. Come on now. We can think of 1,000 inventions, but the one thing that you and I and the church in particular in this hour that seems to be delivered into the hands of the tormentor and the enemy and the adversary, we need to say, "Lord, amen, forgive us of our wrongs. Forgive us of our faults. Amen. We need to fix things up, not, amen, white-walled and or white-washed and sugar-coated, but come clean with an almighty God that He can bring revival to the church of the living God. For too long the world has mocked us. For too long the world has made fun of us. They've said we're legalist. They've said we're in bondage. They've said this, that, and the other. God's doing a new thing. But I come to tell you tonight, it's Sterlington, Louisiana, that God's not doing a new thing. I said God's not doing a new thing. He's still waiting for somebody to come back and ask for the old path where you can find rest for your soul and give an out of Pentecost and send out showers of blessing. But the greatest enemy of the church in this hour is the pulpit. Amen. In many ways, men seek other methods of cure. And only one method's going to work, and namely, that is to take the case to God. Preachers don't want to do that, so they heal the cause a little bit. They heal their hurts slightly. They cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They devise all types of cliches and vernacular that sounds right, but really, amen, it is just closing the eyes of people. And many are sleeping the sleep of death. Amen. Oh God, lighten our eyes lest we sleep the sleep of death. Amen. Come on here. There are many friends of mine and friends of yours that are either sleeping the sleep of death or they're just about there to swallow the lie and believe that man is God and God is man and there is no heaven and there is no hell and there is no rapture. Amen. Brother, I want to tell you what we need is to come back to God and let God get in the camp. Let God get in the tabernacle. Let God get in our preaching. Let God get in our singing. Amen. My God, what we're needing is not more preaching and not more education and not what you can read out of a book. Need is a demonstration of the power of God Almighty. Would you lift your hands and ask God to help me? Woo! Help me, Jesus. You know the story. They were in trouble. Israel always, Brother Jeff, when they got in trouble, amen, when they got their back to the wall, then they turned to their God. Come on now. I won't tell you, church, we're in trouble. Come on now. I said, we are in trouble. We need the power of God. I'm going to break loose here in a little bit and preach. I'm kind of staying with my notes for just a minute. But I want to tell you, these folks sent and fetched for the ark. The ark of the covenant. The ark that got down in the Jordan River and the water parted. They walked across on dry ground. That's the ark I'm talking about. Come on here. They went and got the ark, but you see, they had become superstitious. They thought if they got the ark in their presence, they were going to win. And when the ark got in the middle of the camp, they shouted with a great shout. And when the Philistines heard hearing their shout, they begin to say, woe unto us, for God is in the camp. Amen. God is in the camp. I want to tell you, brother and sister, amen, the world, amen, most sinners live as good as most professing Christians in America today. Come on now. I'm not preaching to you morality. I'm not preaching to you a social gospel. We could feed the hungry, and that is good. We could put clothes on their back, and that is good. We could put shoes on their feet, and that is good. But all we would be doing is appealing, amen, to the social man, amen, to the soulless man. But what we need in this hour is a church that can get down to where people are living, amen, deep down in their heart, where they walk out not with just new shoes and a new shirt, but a new heart, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Terry. Hallelujah. Woo! Would you lift your hands and ask God to search you? Ask God to search you. Ask God to search you. Ask God to search you. Woo! Woo! I just feel something in this house tonight. I really do. I don't know what God's getting ready to do. It might just be another dud before I get through. But I want to tell you, friend, we are living in a day that the church has brought the ark of God overlaid with gold. Amen. Aaron's rod. Amen. The commandments are in the ark. We've got it in the church. It's beautiful. Amen. People are shouting. Amen. The people of God are saying, woo! We're having revival. Woo! We're having a move of God. Listen! Did you hear what's going on down at so-and-so church? Did you hear what's going on over there across the road? Amen. Everybody's talking about revival. Everybody's saying revival, revival, revival. Amen. But we have become, amen, like the people of Israel, amen, especially in America. Let's label it on down to the Arklamis. Amen. We have got a church world that has mistaken the visible for the invisible. Come on now. We put our faith in our buildings. We put our faith in our choirs. We put our faith in our fellowship halls. We put our faith in what we can see, and we neglect the one who is the anointer, the one who is the empowerer, the one who is the enabler. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I said, brother, we put our trust in everything, but what we need our trust in, and that's the power of God, and we need God in the camp. Woo! It has pleased God, even in our holy faith, to give us some external symbols. Water, bread, and wine. But Catholicism has took the bread and the wafer and made it God. They're not interested in the invisible. They're interested in the visible. They want power. They want prestige. Come on here. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel like preaching. I need some of you guys to help me. Amen. We have now living in a day that Rome, and I know you hate to hear this, but you've got to have your eyes open in this hour. If you don't get your eyes open, you're just going to believe anything that says Jesus, Jesus is of God. I won't tell you. Everything that says Jesus, Jesus is not of God. Oh, help me, Jesus. Woo! Amen. But you listen to me. It is a sad day, Sister Jenna Mitchell, when the symbol takes the place of the Savior. That's right. Come on now. Our buildings, our number, our talent, our personality, our charisma, our professionalism, amen, our marketing, our strategies. Where's God in all this? Help me, Jesus. Have we lost Him? Have we been like the people of God? We've got the ark. We can see the ark. It's overlaid with gold. But don't we realize that it wasn't the ark that parted the Jordan River? Amen. It was God Almighty. I want to tell you, it's not in your singing. It's not in my preaching. It's in God Almighty. And we need at Sterlington Holiness Tabernacle, we need God in the camp. I'm going to probably be long-winded tonight, but I'm always long-winded. Let me tell you, man by nature is both an atheist and an idolater. Come on now. These two things are shades of the same thing. We want, if we do worship at all, something that we can see. But a God that can be seen to most of the American culture is no God. And so the idolater is first cousin to the atheist. He has a God which is no God, because his God can be seen, so he feels it's his God. Come on now. I can't see God, but I can see Michael J. Jordan or Jackson, either one of them. Come on now. And the gods of America are the sports world. Hulk Hogan and, amen, Austin 316. You say, how you know all these things? I read Time magazine, so I'm not outdated and preaching on about a tear in my beer. Amen, when they're singing about a lot worse than that today. Help me preach. Come on here. Now, I don't go and listen to the country music station so I can, come on now. I get sick of these guys talking, coming on the radio, acting like how, you know, James Dobson, Mr. And say, well, I was on the pornography board, and we said, and we viewed so many videos, da da da. That's ungodly. That's ungodly. God's not in the camp. We need God. We need revival. We need a move of God's power. Oh, God, would you do it, Lord? Would you break us, God? Oh, bring us lower, God. Bring us lower, God. Take us to an Arabian desert if you have to. Re-educate us if you have to, God. Whatever you do when you get through with us, let the glory of God be in the camp. Let the power of God be in our midst. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost reign. Let Jesus reign. I say, come on, church. We need a move of all time. Holy Ghost. Power! We have mistaken the visible and neglected the invisible. They said, let us fetch the ark. It was just a chest of wood covered with gold with angelic figures on the lid. It was simply a token, a symbol of the presence of God. But they put more trust in that. Whew. Oh, I need the Lord to help me right here. They put more trust in that ark. Let me tell you, friend, you better be careful who you put your trust in 1999. You better be careful what ministries you put your trust in 1999. Because you know what God said? Ooh, glory to God. He said in Jeremiah 17:5, he said, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart has departed from, amen, the Lord. Yet still, we see that's in the Bible, but we want a symbol. We want a token. We want something we can see. We want a sign. Amen, brother, they have ascribed the ark of God to what only could be done by God himself. I want to tell you, amen, I'm not interested in being like any other preacher. I want to be what God wants me to be. I said I want to be what God wants me to be. And I'm afraid that we have mistaken the symbol and the building and the preaching and everything else. And we've neglected the invisible. And the only way to endure is to see him who is invisible.
Amen.
Even the Church of God, pardon me, Cleveland. Forgive me for meddling. But now they even put pictures, or what was that that they put in that statue of an idol? Put an idol in the churches where once the glory of God had moved. Some of the greatest preachers in the 1900s were Church of God preachers. But now, you can't hardly find a good one. I'm sure there are some good ones, but there, you have to look real hard. Oh, now, forgive me for meddling now. Woo! You've got the Assembly of God. Sorry, Springfield. Pardon me while I meddle. Come on now. But they, he men burn incense down at Pensacola. And they have put their approval that you can go down to a certain location and have them lay hands on you, and God will send revival back to your town. I want to tell you, brother, they put their trust in that which they can see. Amen. My faith is not in John Kilpatrick. My faith is not in Steve Hill. My faith is in Almighty God, who's able to send revival to a people that are hungry for it and who get on their knees and say, Lord, I need you to give me revival. Help me preach here. I'm here to tell you, we've got to get our eyes off the visible and look to Him who is invisible. But that wasn't their only mistake. I must preach this. And I want you to buy the tape if you think I'm preaching too long. But I got some things that I know God gave me. You hear me now? The Israelites fell into another's mistake, which is often made today. They preferred office to character. Woo. What do you mean, Brother Tracy? In their distress, instead of calling on God, they sent for Hophni and Phinehas. Why did their hearts turn to them? Because they were priests. And the people had come to hold the sacred office in such a superstitious reverence that they thought that that was everything. But these men were great sinners against God. They were laying with women in the temple. They were stealing the sacrifices that good people had brought. Come on here. Come on now. They were not even moral men, much less spiritual men. They made the house of God to be abhorred and dishonored, amen, before the Lord God of Israel. Yet because they happened to hold the office of a priesthood, they were put in the place of God. And brother, that's where we are today. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Whoa, have you heard him preach? That man can preach. Oh God, it breaks my heart when I hear holiness men talking about these prosperity preachers and how they can preach. I ain't worried about how they preach. How do they live? I said, how do they live? Do they rule their household?
Oh Lord, y'all praying for me? Woo! You let a man be eminent for the holiness of his life. Amen. But they'll be disinterested in his character. Amen. The fidelity of his preaching and the power in his praying. Amen. The blessing of God on his ministry, but they don't care nothing for that. Amen. They want somebody that can filter it down. They want somebody that will water it down. They want somebody that's not interested in the invisible, but interested in the visible. Come on now. They want them to preach to them, amen, give to the blessed, and you'll be blessed.
Amen. They want to preach about God getting ready to loose us from our financial curse. And then the church, when they get the money, is going to take the world back. I want to tell you, that man's a Highland and he's after their pocketbook. Come on now. I don't care if I never preach to 20,000. Amen. Brother, let me be a man of character. Let me be a man of my word. Help me, Jesus. Oh, God, I know I'll make mistakes pastoring. This is my first pastorate. But I want to tell you, we must watch what we're looking at.
Come on now. Hophni and Phinehas. Fornicators, idolaters, they go to them. What'd you go to them for? Well, don't you understand? God forbid that we should say a word against the house of Aaron or against any who speak the name of the Lord, whom God has truly called unto his work. Woo, come on now. Brother Tracy, don't judge. You're judging. You're making me nervous. You're judging. Am I judging? Am I judging? Come on now. Am I judging? Yes, I'm judging. Do I have a right to judge? Yes, I have a right to judge. I want to tell you, this thing of preaching, amen, is, you know, amen, well, Brother Tracy, they're preaching Jesus. You can preach Jesus all you want to. Where's the message of repentance? Jesus preached repentance. Peter preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. If that message is lost, they're not preaching the Jesus of the Bible. And I have yet to hear T.D. teach repentance. That's why it grieves me. And then if they do, they've kind of got, like Brother Todd said, they got this this soft rebuke, like Eli. It sounds like they're reproving. Huh? Woo, and because they're preaching Jesus and they're a part of the church, let's leave them alone. Don't touch them. And the American church is poisoned. That's right. Yeah, I don't know where some of you stand. I really don't. I don't know where you stand, but it don't matter to me. Because I'm not changing. Amen. I'm not getting caught up with the glitz and the glamour. I'm not getting caught up in what I can see. Amen. I've got friends that got, amen, they have went after the visible. Amen. They are men, Brother Todd, that have, they've got the office. They went big time. Quote unquote, you can't get hardly any higher and bigger than them. But when you ask them, so and so, you know it's fake. They bow their head and begin to cry and say, I know it, but I just can't give it up. I want to tell you, friend, amen, let's give up this old world. Let's give up this old self-life. Let's give up this old carnal walk and say, God, we want you in the camp. There might be blood. There might be sweat. There might be tears. There might be sacrifice. But when it's all said and done, let your glory, let your glory, let your glory fill the tabernacle. I'm going to skip over some things. But I want to tell you something. This preaching business, it is not a position of pedigree. I don't care who daddy was and who mama was. Amen. It don't matter. It's not a position of pedigree. It is, does the power of God, the anointing of God, does it rest upon him? Come on here. Woo! I won't tell you. Amen. Do I get anointed or not? If I don't get anointed, you all don't need to be here. Woo!
Do you really believe what I'm preaching? Or are your eyes on the visible? On what's popular? When you can sit down at tea with somebody that's as loose as a goose, probably never been converted. But we don't want to rock the boat no more. We're having a revival of Jesus in America. Are we? No! We need God!
Come on now. I want you to know these folks were shouting. I mean, they were shouting. And they didn't have nothing to shout about. God wasn't nowhere near them. They shouted and shouted, but the whole time they were shouting, they were under a mistake. All the time, and shout as they might, they had very little to shout about, for in a short time, their carcasses were going to be all over the land. Hear me now. If you don't shout like Brother Scott and Brother Todd, that's all right. There's going to be an ejaculation of joy sometimes. It's just going to come from your innermost being. And you are going to shout. You hear me? There's going to be times that's going to happen. But hear me. Hear me now. There's sometimes that you can't put what you're feeling into words. And that iceberg that's been in your heart for so long begins to melt. And the tears begin to flow. And there ain't no words. And that's praise unto God. Come on now. God's not just interested in our outward praise. He wants spiritual word. Is it coming from your heart? I said, when you know what some of us need? You need to get lost in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've never let the Holy Ghost really get a hold of you. You've always been in control. Always.
And this is where I'm closing. I got a whole lot more, and I've preached too long. Well, the tape ain't even turned over yet. But why? Why? It must be me. It seems like God anoints, and then it just kind of... Oh, maybe I need to just start preaching 10 minutes. But this is a mistake these people made. They valued novelty above scriptural order. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. There hath not been such a thing heretofore. There is a glamour about the novelty which misleads us. Come on now. Amen. And we have got a novelty-ridden church. What is novelty? Something new. Something unusual. If you can get something that nobody else has got, woo! They're going to jump on your little island and shout with you while it's going good. But soon as something else, another novelty, hits the other church down the road, they're going to be gone. And they're going to go over. Come on now. Woo! Help me now. We're living in a day that people are going after the new thing. But I want to tell you, brother, there's such a glamour about novelty, it misleads us. That sometimes we are liable to think that the newer something is, the truer it is. But I want to tell you, friend, you might think I'm old-fashioned, amen, because I preach holiness. But Tertullian, in the 3rd century, he preached holiness. And what seems to be newer doesn't mean it's truer. Come on here. Just because the modern American mindset agrees with a liberal loosening up, compromising message, doesn't make it true. Most of us here were born after 1948 when Israel became a nation. There's some of us that weren't. But that's when the church started going into declension and apostasy. You know what? We all got converted by the grace of God. We were brands pulled out of the fire in the midst of a church that was going into apostasy. And here we are on the brink of the coming of the Lord when our nation is saying they need a wake-up call. Kill all the Jews. But I want to give this church a wake-up call. We need God in the camp. We need to be a soul-saving station. We need to see revival. Oh, God. But that man that is given to change the new thing, he'll say, oh, that's for me. That's why all these preachers that compromised long time ago have run down to Pensacola, brought it back to their church, they're backslid, still preaching. They're not even preaching out of the same Bible they used to preach because they got some new version now. Help me preach. Amen. We need to hear this, don't we, church? Just swallow it on down. Amen. Because we need to hear it. But brother and sister, I'm not trying to be mean. But I'm not going to sit there and be cruel like you. And people living in rebellion. And living in pride. And say, hey, they're going to make it. If they don't repent and come back to their God, they're not going to make it. God's going to send strong delusion. And they're going to swallow the lie. Help me now. There have been no such thing heretofore. They were saying, we've never seen nothing like this. This is new. It's difficult to explain. Amen. But you know, all this new stuff that's being out today, going on today, and you've heard about it. I'm not going to preach about all that. But why hasn't the Holy Ghost, who has been with the people of God since Pentecost, who came to lead us into all truth and guide us into all truth, come on now. And when they had revival and they went forth and they preached the gospel, he stretched forth their hands and gave them boldness. They preached the word. They were threatened. They were beat. They were this, that, and the other. But God sent them revival. But now God's doing a new thing. We can have our wallets padded. Live in our big homes. Be the most prosperous people on the world. God's doing a new thing. No. Come on now. There are two words that work magic in advertising. Does anybody know what those two words are? Free and new. Come on now. And the church has become a marketing company. We got a new thing. We've been introduced to new Christian rock and roll. We've been introduced to new Christian comedy. We've been introduced to new Christian drama. We've been introduced to new Christian country. It's new. It's got to be of God. Come on here. I want to tell you, there ain't nothing new under the sun. And the devil, like a wolf, has come into the church and he's robbing people of their soul. And they don't even know it because they don't have a shepherd. They have a hireling. Opinions as good as my opinion, but our opinions are like armpits. They stink. Come on here. Woo! I want to tell you, friend, there ain't nothing new under the sun. Amen, brother. It ain't Christian rock and roll that's going to bring revival. Amen. It's not white robe choirs that are going to bring revival. Amen. The world, our enemies are wreaking havoc of the church of the living God. What the church needs to do is turn back to God and say, Lord, we know it's not the ark. It's you. We know it's not our buildings. We know it's not our singing. It's you, Lord. It's you, Lord. It's you. But Brother Tracy, my church is growing. My church is growing. I mean, Brother Tracy, it is really, really growing. God must be blessing it. We're in a building program. We're doing this.
Oh, I know this rubs you wrong. Hey, man, this rubs them all wrong. Because you see, success today is in number. So in order to have number, they got to become. Just right. Come on now. If you want a pragmatic church, I've said it many times, there's plenty of them. You don't have a chain and ball around your ankle. That's it. That's it, brother. Amen. Let it be. So be it. Glory to God. There's plenty. But we want a holiness church. A holiness church. God sent me here to build a holiness church. People with good attitudes. People who are wholesome with their tongue. People who pay their bills. People who... Come on now. We come for a sanctified people that will separate from the world. And their hearts ain't inclined to ungodliness, but their hearts are inclined to His way. People have been saved for years and can't even give you the doctrines of the Bible. More or less, call them by what they're called, eschatology, soteriology, bibliology. Huh? You know, that's the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of future things, the doctrine of salvation. Come on here. Whew. Oh, God. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to close with a William Seymour quote. Try to close. William Seymour, 1906. They were having a mighty move of God. He said, every experience and manifestation we have in this meeting must measure up to the Word of God. They believed type back in 1906. I don't believe the Holy Ghost has changed. Have you? He said, every experience must line up to the Bible. He said, some say we're too strict. But he said, if we're too strict in living so close to the Word, he said, we'll just settle that with Him when we meet Him in the air. I read that and I said, hallelujah. I couldn't said it any better. Brother Seymour, hallelujah. Woo! Come on here. You say, Brother Tracy, you're an old fanatic. Well, pardon me. Hey, man, you say you're too strict. Well, I might be trying to live too close to this book, but I'll settle that with Him one day when I meet Him in the air. I don't want nothing to keep me here. I want God in the camp. I said, I want God in the camp. I want new life in my prayer, fresh energy in our services, conviction in our pews. In God infuse in us a daring faith, a faith that will be reckless, that will abandon when everybody else in the boat's saying, you don't have to be that way, Sister McKinney. You'll step on out of the boat and say, hey, amen, He called me up. What am I trying to tell you? God wants to visit us. He wants to be in the camp.
We're not better than anybody else. But we're trying to live so close to the book that we won't miss Him in the air. Woo! Would you stand?
As my wife comes, we must, church, be very careful in our lives. Now listen to me. I'm reading C.H. Spurgeon. So this is not Tracy Boyd, okay? This is C.H. Spurgeon. But he said, we must also be very careful in our lives. God will not come to an unholy church. The sacred dove will never come to a foul nest. There must be purging and a cleansing, or else He will not come. Moreover, there must be a conscientious obedience to His word, a strict adherence to His truth, His doctrine, His precepts, to the whole of Christ's rule and law. He will not prosper us unless we are careful to follow every step that He has taken. God help us to have this conscientious care, this coming out from those who may not be thus careful according to His word. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, if we desire this special sense of God's presence, there must be an unbroken union. The Spirit of God does not love fighting. He is a dove, and He will not come where there is constant strife. You see, I'm not preaching a new thing. I don't know what kind of man Spurgeon was. I've heard different stories about C.H. Spurgeon, but I believe that was truth. Hear me now. Hear me. God is wanting to come into the camp. With every head bowed and every eye closed, but church, He doesn't want any of us to sidestep the doctrine of repentance.